At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries, we'll test them fast and free on most vehicles. If the best way to test your battery was to place our tongues directly on your old battery, we'd do it. But we have a machine that's far more accurate. Need a new battery? We'll install it free with purchase using our hands. No machine can replace those. Service is our best part. Advance Auto Parts.
Announcing the 2011 Quicken Loans Carrier Classic, a first-of-its-kind college basketball game played on an aircraft carrier, the USS Carl Vinson. This Veterans Day, truly amazing. Today's rates are just as amazing. 3.99% on a 30-year fixed, APR 4.22%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-970-2611. And don't forget to watch the 2011 Quicken Loans Carrier Classic on ESPN November 11th.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLS number 3030.
Trick or treat. This Halloween week brings lots of goodies for Wall Street, according to Art Hogan, head of product strategy at Lazard Capital Markets.
Employment number and the Fed and another G20 meeting and another pretty solid week of earnings, too.
Federal Reserve policymakers begin a two-day meeting Tuesday, but Hogan says they may not feel any need to act.
They're on the sidelines, but they've got their helmet in their hands, and I can tell you that. So they're ready to come into the game. The good news is they don't need to right now.
Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke will discuss the Fed's deliberations after the meeting ends Wednesday afternoon. The labor market takes center stage on Friday, and although the unemployment rate isn't expected to change in October, Hogan is optimistic about job creation.
I think we're going to see a more robust number than we saw last month, but just not enough to get us back to that level where we can get excited about it.
Earnings on the calendar include Pfizer, Kraft, and MasterCard. For more money news, head to marketwatch.com/radio. I'm Larry Kofsky at the marketwatch.com Wall Street Bureau.
Mom, thanks for taking me to work with you today.
It's my pleasure, honey.
Gee, you work with lots of people who don't look like you at all.
What do you mean?
Well, there are Asian people and African Americans and Latinos and...
Of course there are. Here, we all work together as a team.
But aren't they different than you are?
In a way, but those differences are good because they mean different ways of seeing things, different ways of thinking things, and different ways of doing things.
But Mom, if all that different stuff is so good where you work, how come where we live, everyone looks just like us?
Diversity shouldn't be left behind at work each day. In our neighborhoods, it can create a greater appreciation and respect for cultural differences and prepare our children for the global life that lies ahead. After all, your family doesn't live in a 9-to-5 world. Why should diversity?
Mom, the people you work with are awesome. I really like them.
To better understand the benefits of diversity in your community, log on to aricherlife.org. That's www.aricherlife.org. A message brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance in celebration of the 40th anniversary of the Fair Housing Act.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Welcome to Foodie and the Beast. Well, actually, it's not really Foodie and the Beast. It's Foodie and the Foodie. This is Nikki Nellis, and my husband David Nellis is off doing something boring today. But instead, I've got Amanda McClements with me in studio. Many of you know her as Metricurian. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
We have such a fantastic show. But before we get into all the guests who are in our studio right now, we do have a studio full. We've already got food and wine poured. We just got back from a little overnight in Frederick.
A little foodie Frederick tour.
It was. It was a crawl. What was your favorite part of the trip?
Oh, gosh. How could I pick a favorite? When we packed, what, 4 meals into one day?
Four and a half meals. In less than 24 hours.
Yes.
Pretty good.
Less than 24 hours. That's kind of par for the course when we travel. Went to Chabro Bistro.
Fantastic cocktails.
We went to Dublin Coffee Roasters, which was incredible to see that operation and set up.
Absolutely.
Got to see the beans roasted right before our eyes.
Totally agree with you. I loved watching it come out and spill out in the aroma.
Oh, it smelled so good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then we went to the wine kitchen.
The wine kitchen, which
brand
is
brand new.
Right.
Tom Sietsma just did a first bite on it yesterday.
Right. We're the kind of people who go out for drinks and snacks before we go to dinner.
Right. Well, so. You have to eat. You have to get ready.
And it was a 9 o'clock reservation at Volt.
True.
So, you know, we had to have something to tide us over before dinner.
And then we closed it down.
And we closed Volt down. I believe we were the very last people.
We were the last people. They
were those
there.
People.
We were those people. For the chefs in studio, we were those. You could not get us out of there. Anyway, well, let's talk about who we're going to be talking to today. So we have Mike Isabella and Lori Forster. They are both in studio. They are going to be at the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show. They're going to tell us all about it. And Giada De Laurentiis is going to be on the phone. You may know her from her Food Network shows and all of her cookbooks. She is also going to be at the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show. And we've got Rogue 24's Matt Carroll. He's in pouring some vino. And last but not least, we have Scott Druneau, who's going to be joining us. He just recently returned from China. He's going to be telling us all about his trip, and he brought in delicious tastes. So, Matt, let's get started with you.
Sure.
Okay. Let's get a little 411 right. for those who don't know you, about who you are and how you got into this business.
How I got in this business? That's actually really interesting. Mm-hmm. I was a school teacher for 10 years.
Okay.
Doing special education and crisis counseling.
So dealing with people like me.
Exactly the same thing. The longer I work in the restaurant business, the longer I realize that the only difference is now I can drink without getting in trouble.
Right.
A brilliant thing.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, those skills actually strangely work very well together. And
mm-hmm.
But I was working in Baltimore as a school teacher. And since you can't work only as a school teacher and make a living, mm-hmm. I was part-time at a wine bar.
Oh.
Had an amazing boss who said, if you're interested in any of the Court of Master Sommelier exams, if you pass them, I'll reimburse you for them. So
wow. What an opportunity.
I went yeah. running with it. And so yeah, I passed the intro certified and advanced on the first shots. And mm-hmm. Said, you know, I should probably do something with this.
And how wow. did you wind up at Rogue?
By way of the Inlet Little Washington. Mm-hmm. I was there first. And then it was a little too far out, a little too much of a city mouse for for that kind of life.
Right.
So, RJ made a really fantastic offer. And we, mm-hmm. you know, here we are.
Well, later in the show, I want to talk about how you worked with RJ to build the cellar, because it is a new restaurant right. and you built it from the ground up. And I think for people who don't know about that, that's quite a task.
It is. It's an interesting game.
So tell us a little bit about the wine you brought in today.
Sure. Before we talk about it, we have to actually get you guys some
wine. Oh, excellent.
Most important.
Well, and it's an interesting change for Matt to have gone from the country to an alley, literally
right.
a city, a gritty city alley.
And also like a nice, refined, fine dining,
right.
quiet restaurant
quiet, right.
to Rogue 24.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
it's a pretty cool transition.
Polar opposite, yeah. room's still spinning a little bit.
Right.
So when we say starting out with a wine today, mm-hmm. we're actually not starting with wine at all. We're starting with a hard cider, but from Southern Virginia. So really interesting stuff. This is Diane Flint's Foggy Ridge Serious Cider. She calls it her Serious Cider because it's the driest of the three ciders she makes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all British heirloom apples and Virginia crab apples, actually, too.
So wow.
What I think is really great about this is, and I love to start the meal with this, is it's poured in a flute. You still get that foot in the kind of champagne realm and that kind of tradition of starting with something sparkly.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love about this is that no matter what you've had in a day, if you bite into a green apple, you get that really clean, clean mouthfeel. That's malic acidity. And that's what this has tons of. So it's like a reset button for our palate, which
well,
is really
it.
The best part.
It's the perfect way to start the show. We just
exactly.
got our palates
clean. Exactly.
Chris,
reset for all this stuff going on.
Perfect segue into our next segment. So as I mentioned earlier, we have Lori Forster, known as the Wine Coach.
Yes.
And she is in studio with Mike Isabella of Graffiato fame. Mike, for those who don't know you, why don't you just give a just quick, like 60-second, 411, Mike Isabella, this is who I am, this is what I do.
Yeah, I don't know where to start. I'm a little lost, but no, I'm the chef owner of
Graffiato. You're in a studio. You're in Washington, D.C.
I'm not an alley.
This is Amanda. I'm Nikki. That's Lori. Right.
No, I'm Mike Isabella. I'm the chef owner of Graffiato. Former chef is 18 in D.C., and I was the, I guess, runner-up on Top Chef All-Stars.
Mm-hmm. You were robbed.
Thank you.
He was robbed.
I agree with that.
He was
but,
robbed.
I've been cooking all over the East Coast for years, from New York all the way down to Atlanta and back. So, yeah, you know, we're just up and running, and we're doing, you know, small plate Italian. You know, mm-hmm. it's all local, and from, you know, wines and beverage and spirits to obviously working with all the farmers and the food. So it's been really fun since we've opened up over the last 4 months.
Cool. And Lori, the Wine Coach?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit what that means and what you do.
Yeah, well, my company's called The Wine Coach. I'm the head coach, and my business is all about making wine accessible and fun. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up with a silver corkscrew in my mouth. You know, I'm from Jersey, too. Seems to be a lot of Jersey in the house. I thought wine always came in a box and was pink. So
it does.
When I got into the working world, I had to start entertaining clients. I just took wine classes so that I could do that flawlessly. But then I thought, this could be more fun and a lot simpler. So that's how I started my business. And what Mike and I are going to do at the Metro Cooking Show on November 5th is really focus. He's challenged me. We have our event. It's called Pair This. Mm-hmm. He's challenged me to pair.
He's looking like, I haven't challenged you.
Yeah, you did.
Are you competitive or something,
yeah.
Mike?
Is no, that not at all. Retired. No more competitive.
You're retired from competition.
Yeah. We're doing a special food and wine pairing where I'm going to pick two wines for three of his courses of food. And let people really see how two different wines can go with the same course. Mm-hmm. And then the audience, the people that are in our class, are going to vote for the winner of each course.
How many people get to take the course?
We're going to have, I think, about 200 seats. So okay. If people go to metrocooking.com or even thewinecoach.com and click on event calendar, I actually have a special little package on mine where they get to sit right up front, close and personal.
Like, hang out with me?
They get extras. So we're going to do that. And I have a little concept in my book, The Sipping Point, you know, because I've been here before, called The Wine Sandwich. And it's a way for people to think about pairing food and wine together.
Okay.
So Mike has this great dish, which she's going to tell us about. But the way you do it is you sip your wine, then you bite Mike's dish, then you sip your wine again. So wine, food, wine, that's the wine sandwich. And on the second sip of the wine, just pay attention to how it changes for you. And in a good pairing, you like the wine even more, or you like it just as well as you did the first time.
All right. So, well, why don't we try it? Mike, why don't you tell us what we're trying here?
We have some roasted potato gnocchi served over a pheasant ragu with some stracciatella and arugula. So stracciatella.
Oh, wait. I forgot to drink first.
So let's talk about that.
We've already screwed up the wine sandwich.
Right. The first wine that we have is the Col di Orsia, and it's a Rosso di Montalcino. It's from Tuscany, and you probably hear so much about the fabulous Brunello's di Montalcino. That's what they're known for.
Right.
Of course, there's been some controversies in the last couple of years, but it's made from the Sangiovese grape. But Rosso is sort of like the shabby chic version of Brunello, if you will.
Okay.
Brunello's, you're going to get, you know, $30 on up, even more expensive. But the Rosso's tend to be less expensive. But it's made from the same grape, the same vineyards many times. It's just their lesser priced version, which I'm always looking for value because I like to, I would say drink, but taste every night. So Rosso's something you can have every night. And with the dish here, I think of these gnocchi as little pillows of heaven, by the way.
They're delicious.
I think this Rosso in that wine sandwich is really fabulous because it has that acidity that stands up with the tomato, you know, aspects to your sauce, but it has enough body to it to really, you know, deal with the weight because this is a weighty dish. Yeah.
Now tell me about, you have two wines here, and this one's a much richer color. It's very different.
The lighter color is the Rosso di Montalcino that you tasted first. The second one is the Montgras Carmenere from Chile.
Oh.
And I just got to have lunch with Santiago, the winemaker from this winery.
No name dropping.
Well, he is charming. But he spent a lot of time with Paul Hobbs, who's a Sonoma winemaker, who people that love California upscale know. So he makes these really internationally based wines. A lot more fruit than our Rosso, much more New World in style. Carmenere is a French grape that they didn't even know they were growing in Chile until like the 60s. They called it Merlot forever, and then they figured out it was sort of like a who's your daddy DNA, and they said, uh-oh, this ain't Merlot, this is Carmenere. And now Carmenere, you know, Malbec is the big thing in Argentina. Carmenere is going to be it for Chile. And if you like Syrah or Zinfandel, I think this is a style of wine. What do you think about that sandwich?
I do. I like them both. Mike, what did you think?
You know, I definitely agree with you. The first one especially, like, I think it definitely worked well when you ate the food. And then you drank the wine. I definitely like the wine better.
Yes.
I like bigger wines, so the second one was awesome also. And kind of goes, and there's obviously, you know, lots of pepper in the ragu and things
like
that.
Spice comes out.
You know, so it definitely kind of brings it all together. But they both were great, and I just, you know, they're both different.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know?
They bring out different aspects.
Totally.
Well, when you're working at your restaurant and you're putting together your new menu, because the dishes change all the time.
Yeah.
What are you looking at the wines that you have in stock, and are you thinking that way as you're putting dishes together?
Like, no.
Do you ever go that route?
I really don't. I mean, I try to keep what I get from the farmers and what's local, and constantly always changing the menu. But, you know, we have about 50 to 60 glasses of wine by the glass. So there's really, it's not too hard to find a good wine to kind of pair with the food that we do. And that's kind of the fun part. So I work with my beverage guys, and they'll put something together. And we also like to do cocktails and beers and things like that to kind of go with the food too. I don't want to be just wine at Graffiato.
You mean like gin and juice?
You like gin and juice.
Yeah. We like the gin and juice cocktail.
It's a really
It's
good.
Not just a gin and juice. It's a very good cocktail.
It's an excellent cocktail, absolutely. So when you guys are doing the show,
yes.
Tell us what people can expect. I mean, will they be able to eat and drink too? Are they going to do what we're doing?
They'll be able to do both. I'm going to do a couple different dishes with different flavor profiles. There'll be duck. There'll be scallops. There'll be gnocchi. So, you know, you have some pastas and some non-pastas. And then I'll be kind of explaining it, where it's coming from, how we're cooking it, and, you know, how it goes with the wine. Obviously, she'll take care of the wine part because
right.
That's not – I'll just be drinking.
Right. Yeah, there'll be two wines with every course.
And how different will the wines be of the two? Will there ever be a really different, you
yes.
know,
like a white
and
a red?
Or...
In the first course, the scallop course, we have a sparkling wine from Italy, and we have a Pouilly Foussé, so a white Burgundy. And then the second course, we actually have a Riesling and a Pinot Noir. So we have a red and a
different.
White.
Wow.
With the same course, which I think it'll be interesting to see how people vote.
Yeah.
We won't be the ones deciding which is the best. Mm-hmm. The audience will, which is the fun thing.
Power to the people.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just hope I can live up to your challenge. I think so.
Yeah, we did it last year, and it was fun, and people really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it, too, because when you drink a white and a red with... You know, with a dish,
right.
you don't expect it. People are like, oh, duck, you know, red. But, you know, obviously we'll have a white with it, I think, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yep.
So,
you know what? I'm going to cut you off. We have to take a quick commercial break. But
sure.
When we come back, we'll give the last shout out. We'll tell people where they can find you both.
Yes.
And where they can see you at the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show. This is Nikki Nellis and Amanda McClements doing Foodie and Foodie this week. we'll be back in just a sec.
There's big dining news for fans of Founding Farmers. The new Potomac Founding Farmers is opening on Thursday, November 3rd in the heart of Park Potomac, Maryland. This bright, beautiful new restaurant offers breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch. And like the original flagship Founding Farmers in downtown D.C., Potomac's Founding Farmers offers amazing authentic dishes made with fresh ingredients from American family farmers from across the country and our region. There's easy access parking for the best new restaurant to open in Montgomery County this year. Visit wearefoundingfarmers.com for reservations.
And tonight's number one star of the game from your Washington Capitals, number 83, Jay Beagle.
Hi, this is Jay Beagle of the Washington Capitals.
Here comes Jay Beagle. A chance at the empty net, and he puts it in. Jay Beagle into the empty net with a goaltender pulled. The Capitals lead it 4-1.
And you're listening to Federal News Radio 1500 AM, the home of the Caps.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Doug Smith, who's a partner with B2B CFO, the world's largest CFO firm. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, the full-service law firm in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Calling people using long distance was draining my wallet. So to save money, I'm only calling people with toll-free numbers. Do any of my friends have them? No. Any family members? Nope. You know, no one I call has a toll-free number. So, Mom, if you're listening, I got your messages. Tell Cousin Tommy I hope all is well. And honestly, would it hurt you to look into an 800 number? I'm your only son, for crying out loud.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. Or follow this guy's toll-free penchant and call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. This is Nikki Nellis, and I have my special guest host with me, Metro Curian's Amanda McClements. We're doing Foodie and Foodie today.
Indeed.
We are, and in studio, we have Mike Isabella with us and Lori Forster, the wine coach, and they are going to be at the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show coming up next week. Just, Lori, Mike, tell everybody once again about the class and where they can find you and how they can get in on it.
Well, you can find me at Graffiata Restaurant in D.C. I'm there all the time.
Upstairs, downstairs, where should we look?
At the bar.
Perfect.
With a gin and juice in your hand.
Gin and juice. And then, we'll be hosting the Metro Curian, and we'll be doing some of my food from, you know, from what we do at the restaurant and similarities of that. And then Lori will be
Wait. Metro Curian or Metropolitan?
No, that's just on it.
That's me. Sorry.
He's got Amanda, Amanda in the brain.
Metro Curian on
the brain. That's understandable.
Let me jump in here. Well, November 5th, it's from 3 o'clock to 4:30. We're at the Metro Cooking Show at the Convention Center. And we're going to do a private session. When you sign up for our session, you get the 3 courses of amazing food from Mike, 2 wines per course to try with us, and then you get admission to the whole show and to the beer, wine, and spirits area. So you can, after you leave us and you're feeling really good, you can go taste some more. And so all that is included in the ticket. It's only $140.
Right.
And if people go to thewinecoach.com, click on the event calendar, I have a special package where they get extras like my Weird Science Food and Wine DVD and everything else. So for only $140. So,
I like the sound of
that. But the whole show, if you want to see, metrocooking.com and click on DC. November 5th at 3 o'clock, I'm going to see you.
I'll be there.
All right. I'm going to rise to the challenge.
All right. Mike Isabella and Lori Forster, thank you both so much for joining us. We absolutely want you to stay in studio. Matt Carroll, we're going to throw to you very quickly. We have Giada De Laurentiis on the phone, who is also going to be at the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show. But I see that you're opening up another bottle of something to sip.
And actually, in honor of Ms. De Laurentiis, this is an Italian white wine.
Oh, nice.
Love it.
So if everyone would be so kind as to empty their glasses into whatever vessel your mouth or otherwise.
It's so sad when you empty your glass. I'll tell you one thing. Unless you empty it, you know, into your mouth.
It's
hard to keep up sometimes, but
bottoms
up, guys.
All right, Trunau is set over there in the corner. So tell us just quickly a little bit about it.
Sure. This is a little bit of an oddity. This is and kind of one of the fun things about where I am right now is to be able to pull wine like this, put it on a tasting menu. And the guest really doesn't have much option but to drink it.
It's
a dictatorship.
In this case, it's actually really easy to like it. This is a really beautiful wine. This is the Vignetti Massa d'Ortona Timorosso. So Timorossos are grape here.
Ooh,
weird little local varietal from the Piedmont. Only grown by a couple producers right now. But what's really cool about it is to me, it comes off somewhere between Chardonnay, which is so it's accessible to the Chardonnay drinkers, but it also has this kind of herbal, vegetative, Grüner Veltliner kind of thing. No oak on the wine at all. For that weight.
But it's big.
Exactly. For that weight, you would think it might have some oak on it. It's actually, it sees what's called lees stirring. Yes. So after they made the wine, the dead leaves fall to the bottom. And they just stir them back in. And it gives it that kind of creamy texture.
Fun.
So that's really kind of where it works. It kind of brings in that sort of Chardonnay-like quality, but you know, you don't have to pour Chardonnay all the time.
Right. Okay. Great. Thanks. Well, we'll be back with you in just a little bit. We want to talk more about what's going on at Rogue and how you put together that wine cellar, which I think is really fascinating.
Cheers.
All right. So on the phone with us, we have Giada De Laurentiis. She is going to be in town the first weekend of November because she's in for the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show. She's going to be talking about signing her book, Giada at Home. Giada, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you today?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
Good. This is Nikki, and I have with me Amanda.
Hi, Giada.
Hi.
So we wanted to, first of all, we've been talking about the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show. We have Top Chefs Mike Isabella and with Lori Forster, the wine coach. They're doing a big segment there. Tell us a little bit what you're going to be doing while you're in town and at the cooking show.
So I will be doing some cooking demos, and I will also be signing books and doing some meet and greets. So it's a full day of fun.
And are you only in town for one day?
I am. I get in Saturday night, and I leave most probably Sunday right after the demo.
So tell us about the demo that you'll be doing.
So every year it's kind of, you know, I try to do something a little bit different. So this year I'm going to do sort of a I don't know, I guess my sort of comfort food favorites. So I'm going to do a sausage and shrimp cioppino.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and I love cioppino.
I know. And this is sort of a little bit different because it's got both meat and fish in it.
Oh, yeah.
But it literally takes, I don't know, 20 minutes maybe to make, and it is the best dish.
Ooh.
And then I'm going to make a Brussels sprout leaf salad, which is one of my absolute favorite salads right now. A mm-hmm. little more complicated just because you have to blanch all the Brussels sprout leaves and you have to take them off.
Right. Mm.
But it can be done ahead of time, and it is so fresh and beautiful and very fall, in my opinion. And then a little bruschetta with lamb fontina and greens, which
ooh,
is something
ooh,
that I used
sounds...
to have a lot this time of year when I was a kid. So a few of my favorites, and usually what I love to do is to bring people up from the audience to help me out.
Oh, that must be so much fun.
That's so nice.
It is. And it's more fun for me, I think, and for the audience as well. Mm-hmm. It's just so much fun to watch everybody get excited. And it's fun to cook with other people so that I'm not up there
all by yourself.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you talk about fall and autumn, I mean, with the changes of the seasons, you know, you do so much on your show and in your books. You talk so much about entertaining. How do you get your kitchen ready for all these holidays?
You know, I really like to plan things out. I mean, I think planning is a big part of successfully entertaining. And so for me, I plan out the menu. I think about, you know, what's in season. I take a look at the grocery store probably like a week in advance just to see what's there, what looks good. And I do some prep work ahead of time. You know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. that's really what it's about. And it's about how you feel. I mean, a lot of people ask me all the time, well, how do you come up with all these recipes? I'm like, well, it's kind of like when you get up in the morning and you look at your closet and you're like, I feel like wearing black today, or I feel like wearing a color.
Sometimes I'm like, I have nothing to wear.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so sometimes you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I can't even think about what I'm going to cook today for my family. So it every day is a new day because every day you feel different. So it's from what you want to wear to what you want to eat. It's mm-hmm. very similar in that way. Mm-hmm. So it kind of changes. And every fall and every autumn, it's a little bit different. And, you know, I live in California, so the weather, it doesn't really change that much.
Okay, you can stop bragging.
Yeah.
Stop bragging as we're in rainy, cold Washington.
Exactly. It's pouring down rain.
It's different for you guys. Yeah.
So when it comes to Thanksgiving, who does all the cooking in your house? Do you get people to pitch in? Is it kind of a family affair?
You know, usually it's always, we've always held it at my aunt's house, my Aunt mm-hmm. Raffi's house. And so we all pitch in. This year, my grandfather passed away last year, Thanksgiving time. So my entire family went to Rome for Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
I know, which was unbelievable. This year, unfortunately, I can't, because of my work schedule, I can't leave and go to Rome mm-hmm. for the weekend.
That's too bad.
We could go in your place. We can make that happen.
Yeah, you know, it happens. Anyhow, so I'm home this year, and whoever in my family couldn't make it and any of my friends who didn't have anywhere to go are going to come to my house. I think what I'm going to do is I make the turkey and I make two sides that are my favorites. And then everybody else sort of chips in and brings their favorites so that everybody feels like they're part of Thanksgiving, which is what I think Thanksgiving's about.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I agree. Bringing everybody together.
It just helps people feel like they're part of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Cooking and being together and everybody sharing ideas. And I think that's a big part of what Thanksgiving is. And so I do like and encourage people to bring something. I don't even care if it's a green salad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whatever you feel comfortable doing, and that way you feel very much a part of the meal and the whole experience.
So what are those two favorite side dishes that you make?
Just so we know.
This year I'm going to make a cranberry orange glazed turkey, which mm-hmm. has sort of like an orange and cranberry reduction that is almost like a jam or a jelly over the turkey, which to me is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I love cranberries as well. And then I'm going to make a pumpkin and goat cheese risotto.
Ooh.
You know, the thing is, obviously, Italians don't celebrate Thanksgiving. So I've been with my husband now, not married 20 years, but together 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've sort of recreated Thanksgiving to give it sort of an Italian feel to it.
Yeah, an Italian twist.
Right,
correct.
Why not?
Correct. So his family will always bring some kind of mashed potatoes, but I'm going to make pumpkin and goat cheese risotto and my roasted root vegetable salad. So I roast all the root vegetables ahead
mm-hmm.
of time,
mm-hmm.
bring them to room temperature, and then toss them in a salad, which
beautiful.
Makes my life a lot easier because all that stuff's done ahead of time.
Yeah, you can do it ahead.
So you can sit with everybody and hang out and
correct.
Enjoy some wine
exactly.
and have a good time.
Exactly.
Well, now let's just switch topics quickly. We talked with your publicist who told us you were hanging out with the royals this summer.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like fun. I don't get to do that. Can you tell us a little bit about it? I mean, the people in studio think they're royals, but these people sound like they really are.
Well, I got to tell you that when I found out I got that gig, I about jumped out of my own skin. Mm-hmm. Has to have been one of the biggest highlights of my life. Besides having my daughter and getting married, that for sure is a third in highlights of my life. And I don't know that I'll ever get another one. But it was a remarkable. It was a lot of work and a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. I was also shooting my show at the same time. And it took place in Santa Barbara in July.
Mm-hmm. Which is beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah. It's also very warm. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine how hot it was up there. But it was unbelievable. And not only that, the icing on the cake was that I was able to actually serve them their meal.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got to chat with Prince William and his lovely bride and everybody at the table, which was I got to a point where I felt like I didn't know what else to say. You know when – listen.
Were you nervous?
Beyond.
You know, did they teach you? Like, did you have to come up to them in a certain way? Did they give you the protocol?
Yes.
You were instructed. Yeah. Right. Yes, you're like, oh my God, am I supposed to curtsy?
Well, what
am I
supposed to do? To serve them, they told me not. They're like, well, don't engage them too much because we don't want their head to turn too far to the right or the left.
Wow.
Because we don't want them sort of not speak to the rest of the guests at the table. We don't want them to feel like they're paying only solely attention to you. It didn't matter. They did anyway.
Right.
But, you know, but there were all these rules, and I thought, how am I going to remember all these things? And what if I make a mistake?
Don't turn their necks. Don't stand over there.
I had to take my curtsy. Heels off and put flats on because it was on the grass, and I was so nervous I would somehow trip the food would land on them. So there were so many thoughts going through my mind as well as the dish itself.
And what did you serve them? What did you serve them?
Well, the main course that I served them that Prince William seemed to really enjoy was my sweet corn lasagnas. Now, they're individual lasagnas. So imagine 700 individual lasagnas that we had to take out of ramekins. And let me just tell you that when I was actually taking them out of the ramekins, I thought to myself, am I on crack that I think that this is actually a good idea for 700 people? So, because, you know, you have the ones that fall apart, and these had to be perfect. And so it was craziness. But
No pressure,
right? At all. I have to say that I'm not sure I've ever been under that kind of pressure ever in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was shooting a behind the scenes for the Today Show as well. So it was quite interesting.
Wow.
But to say the least.
We want to thank you so much for joining us today. We just want to say once again, you're going to be at the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show November 4th and 5th. And you're going to be doing demos and book signings. Now, I think you're meeting.
I think I'm there on the 6th.
Are you
on
the 6th?
It's the 6th. Oh, yeah, Sunday the 6th.
Sorry about Sunday the 6th.
They'll get Guy Fieri. They will not get me.
Right, and that right, and that would not be as fun. But I think most of your tickets are almost sold out at this point.
Oh, goody.
So there
I
you
hope
go.
So. I hope it gets sold out.
It's That's a hot ticket.
It's a hot ticket. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Have a great time in Washington when you come into town.
Oh, I'm very excited.
Great. This is Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. I'm here with Amanda McClemens from Metricurian. And we are going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're digging into China. We'll be back in just a sec.
Hey, Angie. Wow, you did it, didn't you? You went over to...
Mm-hmm. Went to Walmart and got the Pioneer DEH44 HD with built-in HD radio technology.
New HD2 HD3 channels, digital sound quality, and no subscription fees.
You got it. Hey, come on, let's ride. Since the Pioneer DEH44 HD is only $120 at Walmart, I'm taking you out for dinner.
Nice.
HD radio. More radio, more value. Now in the car audio department at Walmart. You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
There's big dining news for fans of Founding Farmers. The new Potomac Founding Farmers is opening on Thursday, November 3rd in the heart of Park Potomac, Maryland. This bright, beautiful new restaurant offers breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch. And like the original flagship Founding Farmers in downtown D.C., Potomac's Founding Farmers offers amazing authentic dishes made with fresh ingredients from American family farmers from across the country and our region. There's easy access parking for the best new restaurant to open in Montgomery County this year. Visit wearefoundingfarmers.com for reservations.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. This is Nikki Nellis. I have with me today Amanda McClements. I am beastless, which is actually not so bad.
Beastless. I can be beastie if you need me to be beastie.
It's okay. You're doing a great job. So we have Metricurian in with us. We were talking with Lori Forster, the wine coach, and Mike Isabella earlier about the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show. We also had a quick interview with Giada De Laurentiis, who will also be in town for it. But right now, we're going to throw it back to Matt Carroll of Rogue 24. Matt, just tell us quickly, you got to build a wine cellar.
Right.
What was it like doing that, and how many wines do you guys have available?
Well, since we're a tasting menu restaurant, mm-hmm. it's really geared, the wine program really is geared to the tasting menu. Most mm-hmm. people do come in and do that full experience. But that being said, we had to have a full wine list as well, kind of to complement that.
Mm-hmm. And the full experience is 24 courses.
24 courses with 8 pairings, right. Some wow. cocktails, some beer.
But how
whatever.
Do you do, I mean, with 24 courses and you're pairing the wines, how are you... How hard? That sounds so difficult to do.
It is, except the as long as you keep in mind structure. Mm-hmm. Structure of wine, structure of food. That's okay. really, you know, not to boil it down to a chemistry lesson, but to a certain extent, that's really can save you. Mm-hmm. You want wines that can multitask. Like we were talking about the wine bringing out different elements of the food. Mm-hmm. I go for the opposite approach to a certain extent where it's, we want the food to pull out different things out of the wine, out of each course.
Okay.
So if you have to drink one wine through 3 courses, that each one of those courses will pull something different out of the glass.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at wines that are really beautifully structurally built, that mm-hmm. can hold the food well, but also that little bits of them get the shine on each course, which is fun.
And so but that menu is changing almost daily, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you do that every day? Do you taste everything every day so you figure out what to do? Are you able to read the menu and... I know, it's a tough job. Somebody's
she's worried that you have too much to do,
right.
I think.
I'm worried,
she's worried
about
you.
I am. I'm very concerned.
You want to come over?
Yeah. I'm very good at it.
Good.
We can help. We can help anytime.
We're very good.
There's plenty of seats. You can we'll find a spot. Yeah, but most of it is finding wines that kind of having some things in your back pocket and learning what your chef likes to do. Mm-hmm. Learning what, you know, dishes don't appear overnight often. Usually there's a few days of kind of talking about them, maybe testing a few recipes.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of, you just have to make sure you're there when that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of have to keep your ear to the stove, so to speak, and actually wait for those little cues that the chefs kind of throw out there, like, oh, this course is going here. This course is going here. We're running low on this. We're going to start to move into this. This is out of season. Let's start moving this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, and knowing those little cues and knowing kind of what in your own back pocket and your own kind of distributors, sellers, is available is kind of where you have to be able to pull from quickly sometimes.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you have to stay on your toes an awful lot in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
Well, and RJ Cooper, who of course is the chef at right. Rogue, is there anything that he's thrown at you that's been particularly challenging to pair?
Maybe plates.
Plates. A shoe.
He wants. Okay, he is not here to defend himself.
Pots and pans.
It slipped out of his hand.
Right.
He didn't chuck it. It slipped. It was a slip.
They've all been blunt objects. Actually, with
I love that one.
With chef's food, it's been a lot of dealing with smoke. And dealing with pickled items is,
okay.
I think, the challenge for any sommelier in any restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Those can just be really wreak havoc on pairings. The ability and the kind of the easier element that I have at Rogue is that I'm not just confined to wine.
Okay.
If a cocktail works better, we pour a cocktail. If a beer works better, we pour a beer. And so it's not just limited to just wine, which is very helpful, actually.
Okay, so what are you pouring
now? Oh, now we're pouring some German wine.
Is it a Riesling?
It is.
But
Riesling.
I don't like Rieslings.
She's
now
like this.
Is,
yeah,
okay,
she
this
like
is,
them.
But this, you, okay, you are my perfect,
yeah.
my perfect
Everybody
subject
says
right
that.
Now.
I've been doing this for 3 years. Everybody says that, and they're like, no, this one you will like. And I'm
okay.
Like,
you're not a convert yet?
I'm not a convert.
There's
we'll give this one a shot. This is the Siebrick Spätlese Trocken Riesling from Rheinhessen in Germany.
Maybe that's a problem. Maybe I just can't pronounce
it. That's the tough part. She just doesn't want to butcher it. So normally when you see Spätlese on a label, it means the wine might be a little sweet.
Okay.
And the Rheinhessen, they are not fans of sweet wine. So they ferment everything dry. So you get these aromatics that you think the wine might be a little bit off dry, a little bit sweet, but it's not.
Okay.
And so really this with almost any food, and especially actually the food that Chef Druno's got coming up might be.
What is that? Really the trocken? Is that a
trocken
word?
Trocken means
that you...
German. Oh, I'm sorry. Trocken means dry.
So that's what somebody's told me once. If you don't like sweet Rieslings, that's the word to kind of look for on the
look
label.
For trocken. Okay. That'll help. And also, most wines from the Rheinhessen, if it doesn't say trocken, typically if it's from the Rheinhessen, it will be a dry wine.
You got that, Nick?
I got it.
She's still not a fan.
Order,
that's it. Or you can order
the other wine you poured.
Have the
Timorasso. All right, I'm going to have you all switch. And we're going to bring Scott Truno to the mic. And Matt, I'm not giving you, like, I'm giving you just a hard time. I don't like Rieslings, but of course I'll drink them. I mean,
Breaking my heart over there.
Stop me.
I have to twist her arm really hard.
Right. All right, so our next guest is Scott Truno. He is the executive chef at The Source by Wolfgang Puck. And he has just returned from a summer vacay in China. And Scott, we were talking earlier, you've been cooking Asian style Chinese food for how long now?
Well, I'm pretty old now, so.
Okay, well, I wasn't asking your age. I was
basically
just asking how long you
were cooking. I'm going to date myself, but 15 years.
I'm sure you're a really good date.
I hope my wife thinks so, believe me. Sometimes she would beg to differ, I'm sure.
We'll bring Alton in next time.
Exactly.
We'll ask her the question.
Exactly. Yeah. So how is it that you've been cooking in this style, but yet you've never been to the country of its origin?
Yeah, no, it was always something that kind of ate me a little bit. I was like, I got to get in there. And, you know, I've been to Hong Kong before and Japan and other parts of Asia, but never to mainland China. So I finally said, you know, this is really where my passion lies. And I'm going to go to the motherland and see what's up.
And was this a personal vacation, or were you kind of hoping to learn a little bit and
it was both. Yeah, absolutely. It was both. I mean, I think, you know, when chefs get to be old, like Mike and I.
Thank you.
They're like barely hanging in there, these guys.
We have to find inspiration in different areas. And, you know, I ate at Graffiato the other night and had, you know, a tremendous meal. I was really inspired by that. Mm-hmm. So I think we get inspired by, you know, not only eating at other restaurants, but traveling. And just seeing different things is really eye-opening to us.
Well, so let's talk about this particular trip. Mm-hmm. Were there regions that you wanted to go to because of the style of cooking there? And were you shocked by anything? Like, did you have preconceived notions? Then you got there, you're like, oh my God, I'm so wrong.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I lived in Manhattan for 5 years, so I thought I knew what a big city was like. You know, Manhattan's, I don't know, 9 million people.
Right.
Then you go to Shanghai, and it's 19 million people.
Oh my God.
So,
different ballgame.
Right. A totally different ballgame, and you literally feel every 19 million person there because it's just like scooters and bikes and cars and people, and it's complete mayhem, but I think it's really sort of orchestrated chaos a little bit. Everybody knows what they're doing except for me. You know?
So don't walk across
I'm just trying
that
to eat as much as I can in as many places.
And not
so,
get hit by a motorbike.
And not get hit by. I did see a scooter that had 5 people on it.
Oh yeah. My God.
So a man, a woman, 2 children, and a baby on the back.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. That was, it was interesting.
And one of them was probably eating, right?
Right.
While they were.
Right. Yes. Chopped into noodle soup, right?
So that sort of, you know, it was really fascinating in that way. And, you know, as far as the food goes, I thought there was a real absence of sweet in a lot of the foods.
That we find here
in a typical, you know, Chinese restaurant. It's a little bit sweeter in there.
Do you think that's because of the American palate? I mean, we like our sweets.
I think so. I think it's, you know, we've sort of geared Chinese food here towards the American palate. And I think there it's really forward on spice and savory as opposed to sweet. And, you know, I think we need to find a good balance between the two.
Mm-hmm. So while you were there, what were some of the like spices that you were tasting that maybe we don't have here or that you weren't using here?
Well, I mean, just the chilies like in Sichuan, like there's a chili that we can't get here that they just don't export. It's, you know, the famous, you know, Sichuan chili, and we can't get that. So, and that was a great chili because not only was it spicy, but it wasn't mind-boggling spicy. It was more flavor and chili and spicy sort in the back of your mouth as opposed to, like, you know, having a habanero where, like, all your taste is fire,
right?
Instead of flavor.
Right.
So, I mean, that was great. You know, we had a lot of great meals. So I had sea cucumber, you know, prepared by a great chef, which
does sea cucumber taste like?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of tastes like, I don't know, seafood jelly.
Seafood jelly.
That sounds tasty.
Yeah, delicious.
Tell it. Come on.
Well, let's just say it's probably not going to hit the source menu. But,
I was going to say, are we going to see that on the menu soon? Anytime soon?
I'm going to put it on Graffiato's
menu. Yeah. He's going to fry it.
Mike's stealing it. Mike's stealing it.
But there were so many great foods, and, you know, it's so inspiring. I took a cooking class from a Chinese grandmother, mm-hmm. you know, taught me how to make a few dumplings, and it was, you know, I've been doing it
and
for...
Did you learn something from that?
Yeah,
did
no,
it totally
absolutely.
Change the way you make dumplings?
Not totally, but certainly I think enhanced it. And I learned how to make a new dumpling and, you know, just watching someone that's been, as she told me, doing it for 62 years, making this dumpling since she was four, was really inspiring. And just to watch the craft and the skill.
What is involved. The new dumpling?
So it's a Shenzhen Bao, which is a Shanghainese dish, which is basically sort of
you
a soup dumpling.
Say it again.
Shenzhen Bao.
Which is basically sort of a soup dumpling that's in more of a sort of a doughy wrapper.
Okay. So it does the soup,
it's liquid on the inside.
So it's liquid on the inside, but the dough kind of, it's really juicy, but it's not like a soup dumpling where just the soup runs out of the dumpling. Mm-hmm. Because the elasticity of the dough on a soup dumpling doesn't absorb the liquid like the bao, you know, the Shenzhen bao.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so now you've launched a new menu
right.
at the source. Mm-hmm. So what were some of the items that you took away that you're now serving on this menu?
Right. So we just started a new, basically a Chinese communal menu. We had a great meal in Beijing where it was communal tasting, where, you know, we're accustomed to a tasting menu where it's each course is separate. Mm-hmm. This was more of a family style, like, here's five dishes. Clear the plates. Here's five dishes. Clear the plates. Mm-hmm. Here's five dishes. Clear the plates. And one thing I certainly took away was the bounty. When you eat a meal like that, it's lavish and there's plenty of food. And so we started this new menu, and that inspired by that.
So it's all family style.
It's all family style. So it's more casual, but we do pair it. And we pair some beer. We pair a Riesling, which mm-hmm. you're breaking my heart there. Tell me you don't like Riesling. I'm from upstate New York. That's what
Nikki's
we do
out.
Up there.
She's not coming in now. She's not coming in now.
That's the grape that we make.
I drink it. I like it.
Mr. R.
Give her some of that Sichuan pepper and she
right.
might
yeah,
die.
So, yeah, so we need to eat.
She'll drink anything.
Well, you know what? Before you pass it out, we are going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to dig into some of those noodles mm-hmm. and hear about what else you got going on at the source. And then we're going to get the final from Matt Carroll at Rogue 24. This is Nikki Nellis and Amanda McClements. We are Foodie and the Beast today, but really Foodie and the
Beasting
Foodie.
Beasting it up.
Beasting it up. That's right. We'll be back in just a sec.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map, so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
IT Professionals, the American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council's Academy, is a unique interactive training and education program designed specifically for the federal IT community, both government and industry. Courses in leadership, best practices, and project management start soon, so don't wait. Register today at www.actgov.org/academy. That's www.actgov.org/academy.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Doug Smith, who's a partner with B2B CFO, the world's largest CFO firm. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, the full-service law firm in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. This is Nikki Nellis, and I am beastless today. I'm with Amanda McClemens from Metricurian. We have a packed studio, and we are digging into a delicious, delicious noodle dish from Scott Trouneau from The Source. But before he gives us the 411 on this spicy treat, I have to do some shout-outs. This is normally David's job. He's much better at this than I am. But we do have advertisers who are so generous to us, and of course, we have to thank them. We've got Georgetown Bagelry. We've got Neighborhood Restaurant Group. That's Rustico, Birch and Barley, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz, Columbia Firehouse, and Church Key, of course. Founding Farmers, they were in last week. They're opening up a new restaurant next week out in Potomac. Of course, Modus, that's Noti Bianchi Dish and Circle Bistro. And Charles Schwartz and Sons, they are bedecking me in jewels, can't you see?
Yes, she's glittering.
I'm glittering. And of course, Bethesda Central Farm Market, which is now all year round. You can go there every Sunday and check out all their fabulous produce. So, Scott, let's get back to you. Amanda, I know you wanted to ask him a question.
Yes, as I'm poking my chops.
No tough questions, please.
Into the microphone.
No,
well, tell us what delicious noodles we're slurping here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So this is a chili dan dan noodle, which is a Sichuan dish that I actually had in Jian, which is sort of in the middle of the country. Not quite Sichuan, but very close. And there's some great Sichuan restaurants there. So this is basically a chili pork noodle. It's an egg noodle. And you make a sauce with Sichuan peppercorns and chilies. So the Sichuan peppercorn gives you that sort of numbing, tingling feeling.
I feel it in my nose right now.
That could also be the pepper. And then we make a house-made Sichuan sort of chili sauce that we incorporate into that. And lots of pork and peanuts.
But isn't there sort of this, like, overriding thought that Americans don't like spicy food? And do you think our palate is changing? I mean, I love spicy food.
Mm-hmm.
Not like you were saying, I don't want to eat a jalapeno. I don't want something that, you know, ruins my taste buds. Yeah. But I would like something that has layers.
Heat with flavor.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So do you find that it's changing?
Yeah, you know, I think the food world is constantly evolving. And I think more and more people are, you know, understanding spice and what it can add to your dining experience. So I think, you know, it's an evolution. The food world, you know, always changes and constantly evolves. And I think that more and more we find people, you know, enjoying spice and wanting spice.
Okay. Now, you said earlier that the last time you were in Mike's restaurant, you were inspired. Do you want to tell us what inspired you? Mike? Besides
it was
gin and juice?
It was my Chinese noodles dish.
besides Mike himself. And
he is inspiring.
You know, it was inspiring because, you know, Mike's a good friend of mine. And I think I had every single thing on the Graffiato menu with three people. So... But the thing I took away from it, as I told him on the ride here, was every single dish was really great. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of times we go out to eat and, you know, we'll have 15, 20 dishes. I mean, I do tasting menus all
not
the time.
Not 24?
Oh, not yet, but I'm looking forward to Rogue 24 for sure. But I think I had probably 25 dishes at Graffiato the other night, and every single dish was really outstanding. So that's a tribute to him as a chef. And, you know, to make sure that every dish is right is a challenge. And that's inspiring to me.
Well, now with this new menu you're doing at The Source, this is a special menu. So you still have your...
Yeah, so we still have a la carte menu. And we normally do a 7-course tasting menu. So in lieu of the 7-course tasting menu, we're doing the Chinese communal menu. But if you want the 7-course tasting menu, you can have that as well. But this one is a more rustic and... sort of bold flavors in your face menu.
And how long will you keep that menu around?
Well, it's been selling really well. I put it on like 2 weeks ago, so I'm probably going to keep it for a couple months, I think. So.
Okay. Well, if people enjoy it, why not?
Yeah. So then it's fun for me, and we'll change a few dishes because, I kept this notebook the entire time I was in China for 15 days. And
I heard you lost it for a little bit of time.
Yeah. Somebody stole it from me for a few days, but I did get it back. So, but I just wrote all these notes about all these dishes that I saw and took all these pictures. And so, you know, that inspired me to make a few dishes, and they're not going to be exact replications. We're obviously, you know, as chefs, we want to add our flavor to it. But there's a few that menu will evolve a little bit, but I'll have it for a couple months.
So you'll continue to play?
Yes.
Right, in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You'll still have fun. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for
having
me.
Thank you for bringing this delicious
dish.
The
noodles are delicious.
Really yummy. And exactly what I want on a day like today.
I know, on a dreary, dreary fall day. Some exactly. Spice.
All right, Matt, we're going to bring you back to the mic. We're going to have to move it down just a little bit. I'm not making fun of you, but I'm making fun of Scott, maybe. A little bit.
We hear he fit in really well in China.
Yeah.
Take it on me.
It's all out of love.
It is.
So tell us what you're pouring next.
So now we're headed to Spain. This is the Escoda Sanahuja de Paredet.
Okay.
It's from Concord.